money manager.
Okay, at 3:18, we are bringing the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order for Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. We do have members present, Representative Stutes, Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, and myself, Chair Quito. And today, we have one bill up. We had House Bill 79, was scheduled, but we've removed it from the agenda. We'll be hearing it next week. So what we have before us today is House Bill 108, Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets. We intend to hear this bill and then hold it until our next, until a future meeting, and address any issues in between. We have also, I'd like to note, been joined by Representative Sullivan Leonard, and I would like to bring Representative Klayman forward to present the bill and be available for any questions. So, Representative Klayman, for the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Matt Klayman, Alaska State Representative for House District 21 in West Anchorage, and I want to thank all of you for hearing this piece of legislation today. House Bill 108 updates Alaska statutes to expand the legal authority of fiduciaries to access digital assets. In 2015, 74,000 Alaskans, about 9.9% of Alaska's population, were over the age of 65. With an increasingly computer-savvy senior population, fiduciary access to digital assets is more important than ever. House Bill 108 gives fiduciaries the legal authority to manage assets such as computer files, digital photographs, or electronic communications. And I would note that House Bill 108 is a bill that is based on the Uniform Laws Law Commission's recommendations to states in terms of how to address the issue of access to digital assets, and so the best person to describe the bill and what it does is actually Deborah Baer, who's affiliated with the Uniform Law Commissioner. She is here today, and she will explain the bill to you. Ms. Baer.
Thank you, Ms. Baer. If you can come forward. And before you get started, Ms. Baer, I'd like to notice that Representative Bull has joined us as well, and welcome back to the Capitol building. Haven't seen you in a little while, so good to see you.
Thank you.
Now I'll go to the back unless you have a burning question for me, and I'll be happy to come forward.
Thank you, Representative Klayman.
Great. My name is Deborah Baer, and I'm a Uniform Law Delegation member from the state of Alaska. Alaska has been a member of the Uniform Law Commission since 1914. And what it is I consider it to be a states' rights organization where states from all over the United States, plus Guam, Puerto Rico, meet annually and come up with solutions for interstate problems that are pressing. We try to find a solution that works for everyone and that is appropriate for an interstate solution. This bill is the result of that, and it is the result of over 2 years of bill drafting process. Our bill drafting is an open public process. Anyone can come and watch it. We had representatives from industry, Google, Facebook. We had representatives from senior groups. National AARP was there. The American Civil Liberties Union observed. And anyone who wants to go can certainly come and provide their input to the organization. The Uniform Law Commissioners have reviewed the bill, and we support House Bill 108, and we recommend its passage. You'll notice in the endorsement letters, I'm pleased to see in endorsement letters as well from the groups I've spoken about, as well as the Alaska chapter of AARP, and there was a letter from an Alaska trust company, and I'm familiar with them, and they've done a lot of work in the trust area, and they're confident with the bill and support it. The Uniform Law Commissioners were approached by senior advocates about a problem that seniors were having when they're fiduciaries, such as, I'll give an example through this, that of wills, but it does also apply to powers of attorneys, to trusts, and to guardianship and conservatorship. But the main use of it, I think, is going to be in the will area, so I'll focus primarily on that. So your fiduciary comes when you die, and you have an executor for your estate, And that executor is required under Alaska law to compile all your assets, anything of value, and then disperse them according to your wishes. The problem right now, and it's a problem nationwide, is what do you do with digital assets? Because digital assets is not like a record that you can give to a friend. It's a download. It's something that's password protected. It's encrypted. How do you fulfill this per your decedent's wishes? Right now, there's a big problem. Google, Facebook, the main providers, and they're called custodians, have what is called a private service agreement. If they're a private company, they have every right to do this. It's commerce with the user. A user of their service, and generally a term of that is I will keep it confidential. So in my will example that I'm giving, like in my own house, my husband's the one that takes all the family photos, and he does a beautiful job doing it. I don't have any idea what he does. He just takes pictures, and they push them out, and I use them for things. So the contract that he has for where he stores his photos, and most people, is with a third-party server person, and he has the contract with them, and he has said that it will be confidential. That's the agreement that they have. I'm not even a party to that contract. So that if my husband passes away and I go in and I ask Google for those pictures, Google's going to say basically, who are you? My contract was with your husband. Your husband has deceased. Go get a court order, which is any of you if you've had involvements with the court. It's expensive. It's time-consuming. When you need these kind of court orders, it's usually in a family crisis. There's usually been a death in the family. Someone has been incapacitated. Someone's in a military location overseas. What's supposed to happen quickly? This bill and the senior groups came to us, and this bill is the result of that. So what happens is, even if my husband has the standard will that 99% of married couples have, which is all my property goes to my wife, it doesn't work. Google won't recognize it, and they shouldn't, because they have a private contract with my husband that the documents that they are protecting are private and confidential. So even if the fiduciary, the executive, brings it a will saying everything goes to me, but Google's going to say, thank you, you better go get it in court because I got a real problem. My contract is with your husband, and I promised that it would keep it confidential. He's not here to release that information. So that's the primary issue, and this has been an issue nationwide. This bill is not unique. 23 states have already enacted it. It's pending now before 17 more states. That's 40 out of, all of us. And it's a real-life problem. So it's not like we're walking around suggesting that you adopt something that isn't going to be of interest to your constituents. It will be. It's just a matter of they haven't been faced with the issue yet. I want to go through the concepts in the bill because it's an opt-in system. So if in my example, my husband chooses to do nothing, this bill will not change his relationship with the assets. I still have to go to court and get them. The compromise that we worked out with industry, with the senior groups, with the public generally, was that the online providers, Google, Facebook, will adopt what is called an online tool. And so that when you open up a new account with them, they will have a page that says, and if I pass away or I get incapacitated, this is what I want done with these assets. The main thing with that to remember is you may say no. And if you say no, that means no one gets it. That means no one gets the family photos. No one gets your email communication. No one gets it. You can say yes. You can whatever the form says. And the forms are different for each provider because each service provider has their own needs of it. Like Facebook, I don't know if you've ever looked at Facebook, but it's always it's kind of a story. People talk about their vacations, and so Facebook has checks on it on things like where you can put the memorial service, how you would like to notify the friends that your son or daughter is deceased, things like that. So it's got a different model than somebody that's doing a business document. The other time that we found a lot of use for this is in commerce is moving to be paperless. And I remember at the Department of Law, several of my attorneys that I work with would say, in my private communications, I'm very proud that I have no paper. I can go anywhere, I can pull the document I need, and I'm fine with that. Well, the problem with that is if no one else has access to your passwords and no one else has access to your documents, when you die, there's a real problem for any business or anyone that needs anything from it. So the online tool comes first, and you can check that and decide that, yes, you want to use it. If you decide, the bill sets as a priority, so the online tool is first. The second tool, its second priority, is for your legally enforceable directions in your will, power of attorney, or trust. Now, a lot of people have said to me, why is that second to the online tool? The online tool is designed specific for the individual service that you're getting from Google or Facebook, like the memorial services or whatever. You can update it quickly and without an attorney, cheaply, change it any day you want. It's very similar to your beneficiary on your state retirement system. You know, you can go in electronically and change it. It is, and so that your will, typically wills, at least the research that I have found is young people generally don't have wills because they're never going to die. Older people have wills, but frankly they don't keep them current. And so this allows it to be more current and direct where you want those digital assets to do when you're focused on digital assets. And this is not unusual in insurance premiums. You can designate a beneficiary to get your insurance premiums outside of the probate estate. You can get it for your retirement benefits. I have a savings account that's payable on death so that it goes directly to my husband to pay funeral expenses and things like that. You don't have to wait for the will to be probated or anything. Okay, so that's the number two priority. The third is, what happens if there is no online tool, or you decline to do it, or in I think my husband's case, it wasn't available at the time he opened his accounts, and you look next to the will, and the will says nothing. It just says all my assets to my wife. It's not enough under the digital laws, federal law and things like that. You have to show consent. Yes, she had to have consent on my digital assets. It's not enough. So you've given no direction. What happens then? Terms of the service agreement with my husband with the provider control. So what does that mean? I'm probably not going to easily get the family photo album. You can go to court, and we have some amazing war stories in this, where people have gone to court. There was some gentleman who his son was killed overseas in a military operation, and all he wanted to do was get financial records to pay the gentleman's bill, pay his son's bills. He had to go all the way up through the court process, which is thousands of dollars. When he finally got the decision, that decision is good for him only. So the same military, another military family with the same situation would have to buy into their own lawsuit and go forward with it. So this presents a solution that works practically in real life. There's a special provision for the content of emails, because people, that's just something that people really want to keep private, and you really want people to think about the content of emails. So what they have for special rules in the bill for email content is you have to give express consent or court order. So that a general will provision that says I give all my assets, including my digital assets, to Deb is probably not enough for me to get the content of my husband's email communications. Once it's got to say I consent to the content of it in very specific language. I was looking at the continuing legal education materials in this area, and it's like almost a half a paragraph you have to have on if you really want to give somebody consent. It's really... So what do you do with email? There's a lot of good information that I, as a fiduciary or an executor, would need that's done by email. Because nobody's writing letters anymore. I don't know how the post office stays in business. But what you do in the general circumstances where you don't have express consent, you have a vagary, you know, all my property, that what you get is a catalog of electronic communications. What that is the to from line, date, time, whatever. You don't even get the subject line, and you don't get the body. And I have heard from fiduciaries that is extremely useful information, because if you see Bill Smith and you see 10 of them, they're all about the same thing, you can probably feel maybe that's a financial transaction, maybe he's looking for a bank, you can go searching for people. Searching for people is not difficult when you have the person's name and general date, time, and place that they're available. And so that's the special provisions for email content. There's also a problem that this bill resolves, and it has to do with mentally handicapped or disabled people, where they open an account. They like to do Facebook. They have a lot of Facebook accounts. It's really nice. But what happens when they get incapacitated and can't monitor that account, or they can't monitor an account where money is flowing through it, and the guardian wishes to close that account? It's really difficult to do. And this bill sets out an easy way for you to do that, and it provides a hearing so the disabled person can come in and say, look, I can manage this account. I'm capable of managing a Facebook account. Don't close it. There's a court hearing procedure for disabled folks. If I'm a fiduciary, I'm the executor of my husband's estate, and I want this information from Google, there's process of what I have to show. I have to show who's dead. I have to have a certificate. I have to give him a copy of the will, you know, standard stuff. And then Google, or whoever I'm asking for, gets immunity if they disperse the digital assets according to the bill in good faith compliance, and they do it within 60 days. That's a big deal, because right now, you aren't getting things in 60 days. You're either not getting it at all, or you're getting it through an important court case that's expensive, and it's much longer than 60 days. And some digital assets, frankly, are extremely time sensitive. I was reading one of the war stories in this area where it was a gentleman that wrote poetry, and the value of it, and he wrote it all electronically, and it was in the cloud or wherever, and the value of his poetry was significant right after he died. 6 months from now, 2 years from now, the value of his poetry is probably less, the market, because people's forgotten about him. So it's really important that quickly people get the information that they need. The other war story I heard was a small business person who, because of a stroke, forgot all of his passwords, all of it. And what happened was the family, in order to piece things together quickly, it took them time. They had to get court orders. As a result, they defaulted on loans for the business. They had to pay interest that they wouldn't otherwise have had to pay. And so it becomes very a very valuable tool. And happy to answer any questions that you have about the bill, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you for your testimony, and we do have a couple of questions. Representative Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess one question that comes to mind is if you share your passwords with your spouse or your significant other, and you got a big laundry list of 200 passwords and kind of the username and the password and the name of the account and everything, so it's in sufficient detail that they can replicate your person if you're not there in person, is that legal, and would that suffice? I'm just thinking of an end run.
Yeah.
If you fall over and you've got, but if your spouse has a big long list of passwords, is that legal? I guess.
I will answer a couple questions, but you're asking an excellent question. The question that comes down to is, do you need this bill? And the answer is yes, you do. And the reason why, there's federal law in the area on hacking, wiretapping, just because it's your wife. My husband does the same thing. He's got a list of passwords. But the problem is, if I have a problem and I need to get into Google, they aren't going to recognize me, because the contract is between Google and my husband. It's not between me. But most times in a typical situation, husband and wife, like right now, I'm going to be the fiduciary of my husband's estate. I'm going to be the executor. I'll be able to get them. And the way the bill is set up, they will allow me to get access to all the documents, or they'll allow me to change passwords or all that. But in general, yes, the bill's needed, even though you may in fact have the passwords, because the company has no obligation to deal with you.
No, the bill seems very reasonable. It makes a lot of sense. I just was kind of curious about just the legality of if you have a parent or somebody moves on and is deceased, and then now they've got, but you have access to their information and, mm-hmm. and accounts and so forth, whether that was legal or not.
And I think another aspect of that, Representative Birch, really is you may have access, but that doesn't mean you have the authority. And this bill provides the authority. Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so we're back to 101 here for me. So so it does raise concerns, though. So, and I think I go along the same lines, maybe, Mr. Birch. So you start giving out you check a box for every digital footprint you may have in this digital age. So electronic digital footprint are so I guess I'm trying to figure it out, the process here. So example, I have an executor who will oversee my will through the attorney if my wife and I both go at the same time. Mm-hmm. So how would they get access. I don't, but here, say I'm 25 years old, I'm not willing to part my passwords now. So does it go to court, and then the court determines that they're actually fiduciary at that point in time, or how does it work exactly?
And that's an excellent question. In a typical will situation, like I have a drafted will of my husband and I, each other, he would like to name me to executor. In order for anybody to legally deal with me as executor, I have to go to a court and get a letter of appointment, and then and I agree to accept it, because in the meantime, maybe I'm incapacitated. Maybe I'm not able to do it. So yeah. So there's a process where you will have a court document to do it. But these online tools and things are all things that you do before you pass away. So like, just because I am executor of my husband's estate, I cannot go in, if he didn't sign the online tool before he died, I can't go in and change it. I'm stuck with what I have at the time. He either signed the online tool or he didn't. If he signed it, did he give me consent, or did he just, what level of privacy did he give me? And then if he didn't sign it or it wasn't available to him, and I don't even, like, my husband has a lot of accounts from 10 years ago. This wasn't even available 10 years ago. So that online tool thing, you're going to have to, people were asking about education. ARP is intending, in my understanding, to do education programs in this area. I imagine the bar will be starting to do things. Whenever they see something that's kind of hot, they get interested and do COEs in them. And it's just something where people are going to have to be more savvy as we're moving to the digital age. We're moving out of paper, and I can tell you, I've resisted moving out of paper, and I've lost. So, I mean, we're gonna be at a digital age. And what they tell people to do, a couple of tips, is keep an inventory of roadmap of what your digital assets are, so somebody can find them. Keep your important things, like your family photo album, keep it on a tangible separate medium, like a flash drive. Somebody said that would work. Make sure that you sign the online tool and do estate planning. And when you go into your attorney, I'm at a time where I probably should go in and get mine updated. First word out of your mouth should be digital assets, and say, hi, this is what I want. Because it's a really personal decision whether you want your kids to look at your content or email communications, or you want your children to look at your electronic financial records. Do you? That's a decision you should make, not the fiduciary after you pass away.
And follow up, and thank you for that. And yeah. So I guess you kind of got right to my next question there. So my concern would be, are we opening up an avenue or door for a lot of corruption, embezzlement, fraud? Is that happening? We're at the age, maybe we're concerned, but if I'm 25 or 30 and I start giving these to whoever, I guess, are we opening the door up for a lot of, not just say an occasional, I'm talking, are we opening the door wide open for a lot of that happening?
All I can say is, when you deal with electronics, they are coming up with new and more security devices to make sure that people can't hack in things. There's federal law on hacking. There's federal law on wiretapping, that it's crime. Is it impossible to hack or crime? Probably not, because there'll be more ways to figure this out. But the key is, when you're signing the online has a trigger. It doesn't mean that I, as my husband's executor, gets access to my husband's accounts now. My husband has to pass away. You know, it's almost like a springing permission. And so if you're worried about your kids snooping in your financial records and all that stuff, even though they are executors, they can't get there. RUCA won't recognize them because you haven't passed away. And in order for me to get them as a fiduciary, I have to show a death certificate. I've got to show the document that, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's a great question.
Okay, you can now read the bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Knopf. Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support the concept for sure, and I just if you could explain once again, if someone leaves in their will I leave all my belongings to my spouse, my house, my assets, yep. And they can have access to my email and to my Facebook account. And I mean, if you explicitly say that, what you're saying is, because Google, you're using as an example, has a contract explicitly with an individual, uh-huh. And they won't break that contract. But in other circumstances, that is broken through a will. If someone wills someone a house or a piece of property, like let's say you don't know that your spouse owns a little vacation home somewhere, yeah. and then they pass away, and you're like, oh wow, I didn't know we had this little cottage,
yeah.
in Maine or something. That you could still, even though you had no part of the contract, you could still take ownership of that. But this is different.
This is different, and it's because we're in an electronic age, and the call. Someone had asked me, is there a court test on this bill yet? This bill's only been out for 2 to 3 years. So it's going to take time for the law to develop and to resolve on the issue. But things like when you use the term all my property, that's like my will says all my property, real and tangible, and that includes houses, land, things. My husband invests in things. I don't know what he invests in. That's going to all come together, and that's my job as fiduciary to find those assets and pull them together. That's why you'll see the letter from the trust company saying it's frustrating to them when they have a duty to go out look for assets, and one of those assets might be some very important business records to find out where you have stocks or something, and they can't get access to them. They don't even know they exist. But this bill does not, it's called an overlay statute. It doesn't go in and change how your house goes out. It doesn't change how you do bequest stocks and bonds. That's all done by other law.
Follow up. Representative Stutz.
Thank you. And I guess I have more of a comment than I do a question. As we all know here, because I made an announcement, my mother just turned 93, and for her birthday, she wanted a new computer. She is. So we got her a new laptop computer. So I can personally identify with this. She's very private. None of us know her passwords at the moment. She's totally together. But I can see how this would be very instrumental if something should just, you know, happen to her immediately. So I'm very appreciative of it. I think it's really important. And I think, as you stated, the fact that we are, in fact, in an electronic era.
Yeah.
And like I said, speaking personally, I'm thankful for this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Bear. And actually, I think you had made a comment about the post office and you don't know how they stay in business with email. But I think internet is how they stay in business because of commerce. So my question for you is in regard to maybe we ought to be doing a little bit of clarification on the difference between a fiduciary and a beneficiary in regard to this circumstance.
A fiduciary is someone, I'll use the will as an example. So like in my will, I'm the fiduciary for my husband, but I also have, and that means I have a business duty and a family duty to find all the assets, to protect those assets, to invest them, to go out, find, and fulfill what did my husband want, what was my husband's intent. The beneficiary is the people who actually take those assets, such as I could see my husband writing a will that maybe of grandkids or somebody gets it, and that's the only person gets the will. Maybe at that point I have enough assets I can take care of myself. He wants to give all the assets to the children. They are the beneficiaries. They're the people that are going to get the checks from the estate, the jewelry from the estate. They're going to actually get the disbursements. But the fiduciary duty to go out and find the assets, protect the assets, invest them, is on your executor, and that's assigned by other law. This bill does not assign the duties to a fiduciary.
Thank you. And I think I just have kind of a final comment, and this is timely in my case because I, as a single parent, I have, and being transitioning myself, I guess, into the electronic age, I have a lot of access for my financial assets electronically. Mm-hmm. And I am in a circumstance right now where I have to think about, well, what happens if something happens to me,
mm-hmm.
and then how does my daughter have the ability to gain access to those financial mm-hmm. resources, especially if my access to them has all been online?
Yes.
And so this is, in my mind, something I've been wondering about and trying to figure out. Same thing Representative Birch has been saying. Do I write down all the passwords and make sure that my executor has the ability to get the passwords, mm-hmm. understanding that they're not going to have the legal authority, but maybe there's a window in time where there's almost like a little nobody's looking grace period. They can go in and take care of stuff, mm-hmm. which is kind of a hope and a prayer. Mm-hmm. But it would be much better to have some legislation in place to be able to address that. A final question from me mm-hmm. is in regard to the electronic opt-in. And you say that they have to do the electronic, or we would have to do the electronic opt-in in advance of identifying the fiduciary responsibility in a will, and you did say that there are a lot of companies that have been around for 10 years. Are these companies, once this bill passes in Alaska, going to be required to allow that opt-in for Alaskans, or are most or many companies already allowing for the electronic opt-in?
That's a great question. And why this needs to be an interstate solution. The big providers in this area, Facebook, Google, they already have tools online. So if you go in and look at them, they have the tools to be able to designate it. We expect the other corporations will come online because, frankly, they don't want to deal with this crisis situation when somebody runs in from a military family saying their son was killed overseas and they want to give them documents and they have to tell them no because of a contract. So it's a real motivation for them as good corporate citizens to get this online. And I expect that they will. There is a provision in the bill that says basically if it's not there for you to use, then we will look to the will. We will look to the will.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? I'm going to open up public testimony right now. We do have one person signed up in the Anchorage LIO, Ken Helander with AARP in Anchorage. Mr. Helander, can you step up to the microphone and place your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony?
Thank you, Chairman Keogh. This is Ken Helander. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska, and I am very pleased to be able to offer our support on behalf of our 85,000 members in Alaska. We think that this is a policy, this is a law that is timely. It is something that is, I don't want to call it an artifact, but it's a consequence of our digital age that now is very important, and I see it as being very much like the advanced planning that we do with powers of attorney for finances and for healthcare decisions. It's so much better to be approaching our later years or the possibility of some incapacity with a sense of self-determination rather than to leave it to chance or to let the burden fall on other family members or friends that may have to step in on our behalf. We're down last week, as you probably remember, in our red vests on our annual fly-in, and had the opportunity to talk to many of you about this situation and our support for this particular bill, both in the Senate and in the House. And coincidentally, while we were there in Juneau, the AARP Public Policy Institute at our national office in D.C., produced an information publication, a survey, really, of adults in the United States of how they use the Internet and what they know about a digital legacy and how many of them really have addressed this at all with any members of their family or with even thought about it for themselves. And it was surprising to me that a majority of people said that they really weren't interested in it. And I, at the same time, they all valued and thought that, the content that they have should be protected and should have ways to pass to their family if they were gone. But I think there's going to have to be some education done to acquaint people because most of us have just never thought about this. It is something that's new, and I think it's going to take some time for us and certainly for the service providers as well has sort of come of age with this technology and how it's being used and how we want it to benefit us in the future. But we are very, very glad that this bill is before you, and we are happy to support it, and we urge you to support its passage as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Helander. Do we have any questions from the committee for Mr. Helander? Doesn't appear so. We will be holding this bill over, but bringing it up again fairly quickly. So because we don't have House Bill 79 before us, that actually concludes our work for today. So I am going to adjourn House Labor and Commerce for March 8th at 2017. Actually, before I adjourn, I'm going to forget again. But I want to acknowledge that we have Ben Manley, our LIO moderator, and Caitlin Ellis, our recording secretary, and thank them for the work they're doing. And with that, at 3:53, and my staff Tally Teal back in the corner, yes, the supplier of gumdrops.
Yes.
I will adjourn House Labor and Commerce at 3:53 p.m.